Gopi Jana Balava Girihare Dari Gopi Jana Balava Girivara Dari Yasoda Nandana Vrajajana Ranjana Yasoda Nandana Vrajajana Ranjana Yamuna Tiravanachari Yamuna Tiravanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Jaya Om Vishnu Pada Paramahamsa Parivakshar Sotar Siddha Shishimad His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Ananda Koti Vaishnava Vindiki Jai Namachar Srila Haridasa Thakur Ki Jai Prema Sagho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasiddhi Gaura Bhaktivedanta Jai Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopi Gopinath Shamankunda Radha Kundi Giri Govardhana Ki Jai Vrindavan Dhama Ki Jai Navadvip Dhama Ki Jai Ganga Mayi Ki Jai Yamuna Mayi Ki Jai Tulasi Devi Ki Jai Bhakta Devi Ki Jai Samaveda Bhaktivedanta Ki Jai Gaur Bhimanandi Hari All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glory to Shri Shri Guru and Gauranga. Okay, so we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, third canto, 11th chapter, text 18. So we'll chant text 18 together, and then I'll read the translations and purports to 19 and 20. Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Maitreya Uvacha Ritam Treta Dvaparam Cha Kalischeti Chatur Yugam Divyair Dvadasha Bir Varshayi Savadvanam Nirupitam Maitreya Uvacha Kritam Treta Dvaparam Cha Kalischeti Chatur Yugam Divyair Dvadashapirvarshayi. Savadanam Nirupitam. Maitreya Uvacha. Kritam Treta Dvaparam Cha. Kalischeti Chatur Yugam. Divyair Dvadashapir Varshayi. Sada Dvanam Nirupitam. Someone could chant. Matichis. Word for word. Maitreya Uvacha. Maitreya said. Kritam. The age of Satya. Treta. The age of Treta. Dvaparam. The age of Dvapara. Cha. also. Kalihi, the age of Kali. Cha, and. Iti, thus. Chatur Yugam, the four millenniums. Divyai, of the demigods. Dvadashabi, 12. Varshavi, thousands of years. Saavadanam, approximately. Nirupitam, ascertained. Translation. Maitreya said, O Vidura, the four millenniums are called Satya, Treta, Dwapara, and Kali Yuga. The aggregate number of years of all these combined is equal to 12,000 years of the demigods. Report by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The years of the demigods are equal to 360 years of humankind, as will be clarified in the subsequent verses. 12,000 of the demigods' years, including the transitional periods, which are called yugas sanyas, comprise a total of the aforementioned four millenniums. Thus, the aggregate of the above-mentioned four millenniums is 4,320,000 years. Next verse, number 19. The duration of the Satya millennium equals 4,800 years of the demigods. The duration of the Treta millennium equals 3,600 years of the demigods. And the duration of Dwapara millennium equals 2,400 years. And that of the Kali millennium is 1,200 years of the demigods. Purport. As aforementioned, 1 year of the demigods is equal to 360 years of the human beings. The duration of the Satyayuga is therefore 4,800 times 360, or 1,728,000 years. The duration of the Treta Yuga is 3,600 times 360, or 1,296,000 years. The duration of the Dwapara Yuga is 2,400 times 360, or 864,000 years. And the last, the Kali Yuga, is 1,200 times 360, or 432,000 years. Verse 20. Then transitional periods before and after every millennium, which are a few hundred years as aforementioned, are known as Yuga Sanyas, or the conjunction of two millenniums, according to the expert astronomers. In those periods, all kinds of religious activities are performed. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Bhastaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharne Nirvisesa Sunyavadi Praschatya Deshatarne. So here is mentioned the four yugas, and there's so many yugas in the Day of Rama, 1,000 sets of four millenniums. So these yugas, they're mentioned here as in their different years. And what happens as the yugas progress, they're diminished. The number of years of the yuga are diminished by 1/4, or by 432,000 years. So in this way, it goes more and more diminished until then with the in Kali Yuga, there's only 432,000 years. So by 1/4, they're diminished. And the ages and the age of the living entities in those ages are also diminished as the yugas progress by 90%. So in Satya Yuga, the people live for 100,000 years, and then as the next Yuga Treta, it's diminished by 90%, or they just live for 10,000 years. In this way, to Kali Yuga, it's only 100 years, and that's even diminishing. And during this time also, the different religious principles are also diminished by one-fourth. All the religious principles were fully active during the Satyuga, and people were all in the mode of goodness. But gradually, as the ages progressed, they decreased by one-fourth, until in this age we only have one-fourth, and that's gradually diminishing until it will come to the point of zero, and then there'll be devastation, and then Lord Kalki, during that devastation, Lord Kalki will come and simply kill everyone, chop off their heads. So during these different yugas, there's different religious activities, different processes of religion. And so during the Satyuga, people perform prolonged meditation. And during the Treta Yuga, they perform great sacrifices. And during Dwapara Yuga, they performed great deity worship. And then in the present age, the method of sacrifice is to hear and chant about the name, the form, and the pastimes of the Supreme Personality of God. So these are the different principles that are followed in these different yugas. So presently we are in this age of Kali. This is known as the age of sinful activity, where 80% of the people are sinful. It's also described that the people, 90% of the people are like jug high and mud high in their various activities. So there's simply, in this Kali Yuga, there's simply a polished version of the animals. The animals, they simply engage in eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. They don't care about anything else. They don't care about solving the problems of life. And so if the human beings act in a similar fashion, they're simply polished animals. They do it in a so-called nice way, polished. Instead of living on the open ground, they have a nice apartment. Instead of eating food as the animals eat from the trees, or they attack another animal, they eat their food on a nice dish with utensils. But it's simply polished animal life. There's no further inquiring about the real problems of life. The real problems of life are birth, death, old age, and disease, which is repeating itself over and over and over again. So unless one inquires about this real problem, then he's no better than an animal, simply a polished animal. And so in this age of Kali, there are four vices: intoxication, meeting, gambling, and illicit sex life. And these principles, so the sinful activities destroy the various religious principles. So there's the four religious principles. There is austerity, truthfulness, mercy, and cleanliness. And these different activities destroy these religious principles. So this is nicely described in the first canon of Srimad Bhagavatam, that truthfulness is destroyed by gambling of all sorts, that cleanliness is destroyed or spoiled by illicit sex life, that mercy is destroyed by intoxication, and that austerity is destroyed by pride, either artificial or real. Or it is also described that austerity is destroyed by meat eating. So in this way, these different principles are destroyed. So this age of Kali is filled with so many faults. It is described in the Bhagavatam that in this age of Kali, men live but short lives. They are very quarrelsome, lazy, misguided, and above all, they're always disturbed. So this misguided situation is found in the leadership of society. Presently, the people vote their leaders into office who are simply are a bunch of sudras, and they have no understanding of how to guide the people, but they simply enact laws meant for sense gratification, not knowing the real aim of life. And they simply harass the citizens by taking so much of their money away. Prabhupada explains that sometimes they take away up to 80 or 90% of the income of the people. And they simply use this money to give themselves high salaries and to pay the government servants high salaries to live a very comfortable life while the citizens suffer. This isn't the situation of taxation. Taxation is meant to, they collect it from the people, and then when there's times of emergency, they use that to help out the calamitous position in society, not to give themselves big salaries. But they do this, and this way the people suffer, and then they mismanage things, and it's stated that the government, they should have a treasury, and this way things are taken care of. But instead of having a treasury, they simply issue currency notes in the form of paper. And this way, when there's distress in the economy, they artificially inflate the currency, and this artificially inflates the commodities, and this way people suffer and they can't even get enough to eat. So in this situation, the citizens are suffering like anything. And then Srila Prabhupada mentions that it will come to a certain point that the citizens will try to hide their money from the government. And this way, the government will be able to collect taxes, and then everything collapse, and the people will be distressed in their situation. So taxation is there, but it's only meant for emergencies and for the government to go on nicely. And it's mentioned that people should be only taxed 25% of their income. And if they don't make any income during a certain year, then they don't get taxed. Just like if you grow the Vaishyas, they grow so much produce. So if they can't grow any produce that year, then they don't get any taxation at all. So in this way, the people should understand if they're being taxed more than 25%, then they're living under a demoniac government who are simply a bunch of rogues and thieves in the name of government men. So in this horrible situation, we have to take up this process of chanting the holy name, as this is a recommended process in this age. It is stated in the scriptures. In this age of Kali, one should chant the holy name, chant the holy name, chant the holy name. There is no other way, there is no other way, there is no other way. So in this way, we have to chant Hare Krishna. Although there are other methods, but the predominant way of glorifying the Lord is to chant the holy name. There was other recommended processes in other ages, but the prominent position or situation is to chant the holy name. Just like before, there was deity worship in Dwapara Yuga, but we still perform deity worship, but not as much as chanting the holy name. Like every day, of course, some devotees, they spend a lot of time in deity worship because that's their service. But other devotees, they come to the Artik, they may come to Mangal Artik, and Sundiar takes less than an hour. But everybody chants Hare Krishna. They chant 16 rounds a day, and that takes 2 or 3 hours every single day. So that's the main process in this age of Kali. And we also do sacrifices, not great sacrifices like they did in former ages, but we have sacrifices for initiations and marriages and the different samskaras prescribed by the six Goswamis. But previously they used to perform huge sacrifices, like the sages in the Naranya-Sharanya forest, they were performing a sacrifice, fire sacrifice, for 1,000 years. They would perform a fire sacrifice for 1,000 years. But in this age, that is not recommended. Actually, it is stated that in this age of Kali, there's 5 activities that are forbidden. The offering of flesh to the forefathers, accepting of sannyas, the beginning of a child and one's brother's wife, to offer a cow in sacrifice, and offer a horse in sacrifice. So previously what they used to do to test the power of the Vedic mantras, they would offer a old cow or an old horse to sacrifice, and by chanting the Vedic mantras, they were able to rejuvenate the animal, and it would come out as a young calf or a young horse. But that is impossible in this age. Therefore, the sacrifices just became a process of killing the animals and just became like a slaughterhouse. And also, because formerly in Dwapara Yuga, for example, there were so many sacrifices. Krishna was here, and all the demigods had come to the earth and for the fire sacrifices. So this upset the wives of the demigods because their husbands were gone for so long. So it's mentioned in the Nectar Devotion that they prayed to Lord Buddha to appear to stop the sacrifice. So in this way, he came and he stopped the sacrifice, many of which were they didn't even were performed properly because they weren't even chanting the mantras properly. So in this way, the sacrifice is no longer possible in the way it was done previously. So in this precarious position, it's so destructive in this Kali Yuga. We have to approach the devotees of the Lord and get their assistance to cross over this dangerous ocean of Kali. Like the sages in the Naranya-Sharanya forest, they approached Suta Goswami, and they told him that we have met your goodness by the will of providence to accept you as a captain of the ship for crossing over the dangerous ocean of Kali, which destroys all the good qualities of a human being. So in this way, we have to approach the devotees of the Lord. We have to approach the scriptures given by the devotees of the Lord. It is explained in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Srila Prabhupada explains that the teachings of Lord Rishabhadeva are meant for all the different yugas. They're meant for Satya Yuga, Treta Yuga, Dwapara Yuga, and especially in Kali Yuga. So in this way, Lord Rishabhadeva gives so many instructions. He gives the instruction that unless one is able to deliver one's dependence from the repetition of birth and death, one shouldn't become a father, a mother, a husband, a spiritual master, or a worshipable demigod. So we have to deliver our dependence from this. Otherwise, one shouldn't become a spiritual master. One shouldn't become a parent. Just stay in the brahmacharya ashram and preach. Forget about it. But if one wants to become a parent, then one has to become serious and deliver one's children from the repetition of birth and death. Of course, everybody has their free will, and ultimately it's up to the individual, but we have to do our part, and we have to perform all the samskaras for our children, and we have to train them in Krishna consciousness so that they become devotees of the Lord. And Srila Prabhupada mentions this in the Bhagavatam in the fourth canto, that any child of 5 years old could be trained to become successful in his life and by realization of Krishna consciousness. But unfortunately, such training is lacking all over the world. Therefore, it is necessary for the leaders of the Krishna consciousness movement to establish educational centers for children of 5 years old all over the world. In this way, they won't become hippies or spoiled children, but they will become devotees of the Lord. In this way, the face of the world will automatically change. So what is that education? The standard of education is given as one who sees all women except his wife as mother, to seize others' possessions as garbage in the street, and to treat all others as he would treat himself. It's not simply a matter of educational degrees, but to develop a religious character, moral character. This is real education. So this is actual education. And one who is intelligent, one who is learned, he can understand that in this age of Kali, children are intentionally being sent to the slaughterhouses of so-called education. So this is a very lamentable situation. So in this way, we have to preach and we have to train our children in Krishna consciousness. In this way, things will come out nicely. So Vrishabhadeva gave so many instructions. He describes about the saintly devotees, the Mahatmas, how we have to get their association, how they the Mahatmas are they're very peaceful, they're fully engaged in Krishna consciousness, they're devoid of anger, and they work for the benefit of all others. So they deliver other people by giving them Krishna consciousness. So Lord Chaitanya advised all his followers to preach Krishna consciousness everywhere by spreading the message of Krishna consciousness or spreading the message of Krishna, which essentially means Bhagavad Gita. So the devotee's duty is to study Bhagavad Gita as it is. As it is means as it is understood by the disciplic succession and as it is given by the great sages and learned devotees of the Lord. So a devotee, his business is to preach. Prabhupada wanted the brahmanas in society because right now the society is simply a headless society. But the brahmanas, being the head of the Supreme Lord, the universal form, the Supreme Lord, their business is to preach and to accept remnants of food offered to the Lord. So the mouth is to preach and to accept foodstuffs. So the brahmanas, who are mostly devotees of the Lord, they are generally they're unaware of the calamities of the world, of the happenings of this world, because they are busy in engaging in spiritual advancement. But when there's a calamitous position in the society, they can't remain impartial. They have to help the people of the world. Otherwise, it is stated that their spiritual knowledge diminishes. So generally, the sages, they go to the Himalayas for their own personal benefit. But Prahlad Maharaj said that he didn't want liberation alone. He said that he wanted that the people, that until everybody was liberated, he didn't want to go back to the spiritual world alone. He wanted to, until all the people were liberated, he would stay here into the material world. So in this way, we have to preach Krishna consciousness by spreading the message of the Bhagavad Gita. We have to spread the holy name, and we have to train all the young children all around the world. In this way, they will become devotees, and then the face of the world will automatically change. So I'll stop there. Thank you very much. Are there any questions or comments on any of these points? Brigapati Prabhu?
Thank you, Prabhu, for your class. Very comprehensive. Yeah, sure. Thanks for the class. Very comprehensive and educational. You were saying at one point in the class how there's a different process for self-realization for each age, and the process in this age is congregational chanting of the holy names. So I was just listening to a lecture last night, and the lecture Papa said the whole idea of Vedic literature is to give chance to every human being to develop spiritual consciousness under certain rules and regulations. And then he went on to say, so what is applicable to persons who are in the mode of ignorance, they are not applicable to persons who are in the mode of goodness. Or those who are in the mode of passion, they are not applicable to the mode of goodness. So in other words, it seems like Prabhupada's saying there that there'll be different processes, right? Rules and regulations of things that people have to follow if they're in a different mode of nature. So, but now we have a blanket instruction, just everybody's meant to chant the holy name. But I've also heard Prabhupada say that the Vanashram system is actually still here, but it's in a vitiated form. So in other words, are we assuming that everybody's in the same mode of nature and that's why everybody's just being told to chant the holy name? Or is there, why is it that everybody's being given the same process when it seems like there are people in different modes of material nature even now?
It's a main process for self-realization. So it's not, like I said, it's not that these other things can't go on, but that should be the main focus. That's all, the main focus. Anyone else? Back there? I can't see it.
Hare Krishna. Toward the end of your class, you mentioned that it's advised in the Shastras that when one has this transcendental knowledge, that one should share it. Otherwise, it diminishes. Can you explain how that transcendental knowledge can diminish?
Srila Prabhupada doesn't go into details there, but it gives an example of like a water pot. If there's a leak in the water pot, then the water gradually leaks out. So that's as far as he goes. But he mentions that, and it's in the fourth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, that knowledge, if you don't give it to the people. And that's, help the people. That can come in different ways by preaching Krishna consciousness, by giving them Bhagavad Gita, by giving them the holy name, by giving them Bhishadam. It's so they get benefited. It's like, that's the system, giving Bhishadam. Prabhupada specifically, he emphasized Bhishadam so much. He said in the beginning, they didn't come because of the chanting. He said they came because of the Bhishadam. So he emphasized the Bhishadam distribution very much. Like, yes, Nakatmapu?
Thank you. Just to add to your answer, it's not that transcendental knowledge diminishes, but the practitioner may diminish according to the modes of nature. Our intelligence and everything else decreases in the age of Kali. So it would make perfect sense that if you don't, it's not that the knowledge or prasadam diminishes in its potency, but the application or the execution by the executioner or the applicant diminishes. But thank you.
Yeah, I just see it as like one who's a Majjhimottakari. He makes friends with the devotees. He worships the Supreme Lord. He avoids the demons and he preaches to the innocent. So if you keep yourself in a Kanisadhari Pukkata position, you could fall down. You have to raise yourself up. Otherwise, you could fall down. Once you fall down, you forget everything. You know, like that.
Another thing on that point would be that, just like Krishna, he had to actually speak the Bhagavad Gita on the battlefield Kurukshetra because it got lost. Yeah. So it does get lost. The science gets lost. And so there has to be, like, Krishna has to come, or a pure devotee of the Supreme Lord has to come, and they revive the understanding and the knowledge.
Yeah.
So it does get lost. It doesn't get diminished, but it does get lost.
Yes. Thank you.
Okay. I thank you for a very nice class. It sounded like Srila Prabhupada's direct words coming right out of his mouth into the book and from the book into your mouth. So it's very authorized, and that gives us a certain amount of comfort and security that it's not something that you've heard from some other books or that you're making up, and I thank you very much for this. In regard to Nikotma's point, is that how does one lose his transcendentalism? It's mentioned all over Srila Prabhupada's books that if you stop following the principles that are given in the books, eating prasad, instead of eating prasad, you start eating meat and fish and things like this. Just one example. Or one begins to go to cinemas and see sensual or sexual things. One goes off the principles that we're told, no eating of meat or fish or intoxication. Or one goes to Las Vegas and starts gambling. When you do all of those things, your spirituality begins to diminish. Spirituality diminishing means that your consciousness changes. Consciousness changes means if you had risen to a high Krishna consciousness, that can go down. So that's why Prabhupada said so often, make sure that you don't give up these principles, follow them, do them, remember them, and also encourage others to do them, and that way you will do them. So the most important things is to not take these principles or take these practices for granted or take them as just things as not being important. They are super important. And if we give them super importance, we will practice them, and we will, in practicing them, we will share the results of them, which is a higher consciousness as opposed to the lower consciousness that we call lower consciousness. Demon consciousness. So, therefore, it's up to us, but the most important thing that I have found personally is that I can't do it on my own. I have to pray to Krishna. I beg you, please enable me, help me, fill me with that strength, with that inner purpose, with that determination, so that I can do all of these things on my own. I may do them for a while, but I may give them up also because I'm not that committed, I'm not that dedicated, I'm not that spiritual. But with your grace, your help, your guidance, your direction, I can do it all, and I can come to a higher position and maintain that higher position.
Thank you.
Okay. Anybody else?
Hare Krishna. Thank you for the very nice class, Babaji, and thank you, Maharaj, for such a nice revelation. As you were giving the class, I was reminded about one of the evening talks when Srila Prabhupada would be addressing many scholars from the society. And at that time, he mentioned that in 10,000 years, the Kali Yuga will really start going down very badly. So this, from the advent of Srimad Bhagavatam, those 10,000 years have started, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu further introduced the congregation chanting of the holy name. But after that, everyone, the society will go down. And at that time, people were really, all the devotees were concerned. 10,000 years, that's the only duration. But Srila Prabhupada said that, in Krishna consciousness, the process is so simple, so sublime, so blissful, that all the devotees will go back home, back to Godhead. So this is the beauty. This Srila Prabhupada established, International Society for Krishna Consciousness, with that purpose that, we'll have loving exchanges in the company of devotees. We'll be engaging. And Lord Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that by sacrifice, austerity and charity, even the purified soul becomes pure. We become more and more pure when we are engaged in Vaishnava Seva, when we are engaged in Sadhu Sangha, when we are engaging in the chanting of the holy name. And this is the easiest transcendental process of the four kind of sacrifices, one for each of the ages. This congregation chanting is the perfect sacrifice and the easiest process, like taking an elevator and directly going to the top floor, instead of those difficult other processes. As Lord Krishna says, Sarva Dhammam Parityaja Mamekam Sharanam Vraja. So we take shelter of Lord Krishna, and that Sharanam, Sharanagati, has those six limbs. So those are also very important, like Maharaj said, that we have to constantly take shelter of the Lordship. We have to constantly seek mercy of the Lordship, and we have to be humble in our approach while sacrificing everything. How do you sacrifice everything? Through our mind, body, and words, we glorify the Lord, we serve the Lord, and that enables us. So thank you very much for the nice class, and thank you very much for the nice responses to the various inquiries. Hare Krishna.
Okay, because it's a time factor, we just want to ask questions, okay? No more comments, just questions.
Hare Krishna, what if a devotee wants to fight you in the temple room physically? What do you do? What if a devotee wants to fight you physically in the temple room, wants to attack you, what do you do?
We want to stick to what's ever in the class, otherwise we go on forever. Okay, just questions about the subject.
Hare Krishna.
Srila Prabhupada mentioned during one class, somebody asked him a question that wasn't mentioned in the class, and he said that just according to the class, otherwise we'd go on forever.
Hare Krishna. Yes? Prabhu, so in the lecture you mentioned that sannyasa is forbidden in the Kali Yuga, but we see that even our organization is gone. Sannyasa can be provided to person who is desiring for it. So how do we understand that?
What? I can't.
Okay, I'll repeat it. So in your lecture, Prabhu, you said that sannyas is forbidden in the Kali Yuga.
Said sannyas is forbidden in the age of Kali.
Yes, but in ISKCON we see that sannyasa is still going on. So how do we understand?
So Prabhupada explains that. He says that sannyas, what mentions that, that's the five forbidden things in Kali Yuga is taking sannyas. And Prabhupada explains that, and the Srimad Bhagavatam explains that we see so many times in Kali Yuga that sannyasis are engaging in so-called sannyasis, engaging in all sorts of sinful activities. They're eating nonsense. They're associating with women. No, this is condemned. This is what it's referring to. But if you're strictly following the principles of sannyas, Prabhupada said, you must take sannyas. So that's understood. Not it's referring to this so-called sannyas in the age of Kali. That's what's condemned like that. Okay, so it's getting late. We better stop there. Thank you very much. All glories to Shishi, Guru, and Gauranga.